the Mace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Derek Mason, Adam Vingern, let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend, Teron Davenport, ESPN, NFL Nation, Titans reporter. Hello, Teron, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
I am pretty excellent. Good. Derek is as well. So, Teron, earlier we were talking about the Titans and Brian Callahan and Mike Borgonzi specifically about how they are stressing that there will be a competition for reps at quarterback. And to me, the novice who is not in the locker room every day, to me it feels a little bit like lip service because I feel like it's inevitable that Cam Ward is ultimately going to take the lion's share of the starting reps and be the starting quarterback. So I asked this question to Tim Hasselbeck earlier. I would love your opinion as well. What is the benefit for the Titans to tempering those expectations perhaps and not just anointing Cam Ward the starter right away?
Well, I think we saw last year what happens when you just put it all out there and you don't really taper the expectation and you know, set the expectation, so to speak, and you fall short, and it's a big issue. Now, I don't think they're putting competition out there just because they think they're going to fall short. I think it is setting the expectation and making the young man compete somewhat, because just because they're saying it's a competition, that doesn't mean that it's, you know, a competition like, two guys who have a legitimate chance to start. You know, it's just like me saying, hey, it's a nice day out today. It is a nice day, but to what degree of nice is it? You know, so there's different levels.
So, Teron, you published a story on ESPN.com looking at some of the questions that the Titans need to answer post-draft. And one of the questions in the article is, did the Titans address pass rusher sufficiently? Let's ask you that question back. Did the Titans address pass rusher sufficiently in your mind?
I would say no. I don't think they're in a position to where, and listen, I love the upside that Femi Oladejo has. I think he can, you know, blossom into a good player. I've seen this happen before. You know, I remember Brandon Graham got pushed outside, as a stand-up outside backer at the Senior Bowl. And, you know, he had a rough first couple years with the Eagles. And that's not to say that Femi Oladejo is Brandon Graham, but I'm just looking at similarities in guys who were late to the position but still got drafted high. I don't think they addressed it adequately enough. The Draymond Jones is going to be interesting because talking to Mike McDonald, he said that Draymond could stand up and rush the passer. He has that versatility to play anywhere from, you know, three all the way up to seven. And in some cases, rush as a wide nine type of guy. I don't think they have an impactful pass rusher. I think with Za'Darius Smith still on the market, that's something I definitely would look at. But I mean, you think about it, they don't have a single guy who has, a double-digit sack season. And I think the highest season, I think Arden Key might have it at 7.5, if I'm not mistaken.
So you mentioned Za'Darius Smith still being out there. What do you think it would take? What kind of contract do you think it would take to lure him to Nashville?
I don't think it would take a whole lot, honestly. I feel you look at a veteran like Z Smith, you know, what he wants is an opportunity to play. He wants an opportunity to be in a good environment. He's going to be attracted to Denard Wilson's scheme. So I don't think it would take much. I don't know what the number would exactly be, but it's not like it's going to break the bank.
We're talking with Teron Davenport discussing the Tennessee Titans and their upcoming season. Now, Teron, when you're looking at this quarterback situation, and listen, we know it's not a competition when it comes to the other guys behind Cam Ward. That's not who he's competing with. I told Adam and Willie that he's competing with time. He's competing with when they give him the playbook to the first game of the season. That's what he's competing with. What can they how far along you believe he needs to be? Is it they need to trust him, or does he need to trust what's going on before they put him in?
Yeah, I think it's a two-way street, right? It's just like a regular relationship. You know, you have to be able to trust your lady, and a lady has to be able to trust you. And not to beyond all, like, you know what a person's capable of, and you understand that, but you know, you have to trust that person. I think it's the same thing where Cam Ward and this whole idea that, you know, he absolutely has to start the season on the bench. No, I think he should play. This is a decision that they made when they drafted him number one, and they didn't get, you know, a backup other than Brandon Allen or Tim Boyle. So it's a matter of him trusting them to put him in position and them trusting him to deliver when they put him in position. So the ideal thing is to make this, you look at what, you know, they did in Washington with Jaden Daniels. You know, they found out exactly what he was comfortable working in at LSU, and it was just like a second season at LSU initially, and then they opened the concepts up and introduced him to more things as the year went on, and he just continued. There was that low, right? There was that down period, but this man did lead them to the NFC Championship game. And I'm not saying Cam Ward could do that. I'm not saying he will or he won't, but it is the same type of program that you have to be on, about allowing him to hit the ground running, using things that he's very familiar with and things that he's comfortable with, and designing the offense. Like, I got so excited, I said design multiple ways. Designing the offense around him.
And isn't that what – because Brian Callahan has been through that with Joe Burrow.
Exactly.
Figuring out what he did well at LSU and trying to find a way to implement that into – the offense that exists now, to help him sort of, you know, be able to get on that bike and ride a little bit faster than not. So that is something that I'm sure Brian Callahan and that coaching staff is looking for in regards to Cam Ward and trying to get him up to speed. Because ultimately, if he's not the starter, then we have a problem. That's just the way I feel about it. Because, listen, they're not drafting guys. And I know – it sounds great, and it probably would be the best thing to do, but we're not talking about what's best to do. We're talking about how fast can we get this quarterback up to speed where we can start him day one, because you don't draft a guy number one overall. Just look at all the picks in the last 10 years. You don't draft a guy number one overall and say, oh, we're going to have him sit at no position. So why are we expecting that from the quarterback?
Right, exactly. And the thing is, it may be the best decision to let him sit and wait. It may not be, right? You look at Jaden Daniels didn't sit. He got right in. You look at, you know, some of the other guys. I mean, there's multiple. Joe Burrow didn't sit. And, again, I'm not saying Cam Ward is Joe Burrow, but these are other situations where it worked. I think
C.J. Stroud. Trevor Lawrence, all these guys.
I mean, look, you find there's multiple examples. And to me, I think that it's a decision that they made, because I still remember vividly, like I literally remember where I was standing talking to Mike Borgonzi at the Senior Bowl. And I remember him saying, we got to figure out if these guys coming out are guys that we could play right away or if we need to have a bridge quarterback. He said that, like, that was when I asked him about the plan, that's specifically what he said. But he was like, you know, no matter what, we're going to build in the trenches first, but we got to figure out which destination we're going to go with this quarterback situation. And that tells you right there, they believe Cam Ward will play immediately, and he will.
Now, okay, do you feel, think about this, or answer this. When you're looking at both sides of the ball, you're just looking at the team, both sides of the ball, who do you think more pressure is on? Not pressure, I think, from the organization as far as what Borgonzi or Brinkert are thinking. But I'm saying pressure on how to get this team to where they need to go quickly, or the quarterback quickly. Denard Wilson, and this may be a crazy question to answer. Denard Wilson or Brian Callahan? Because I look at it from this standpoint. If you have a top half or you have a top 10 defense, that gives the offensive coordinator slash head coach more leeway to work with his quarterback because he understands that we are going more times than not, we're going to get three and outs. We're going to get you the ball back if you turn it over. We're going to be able to allow you to bring the quarterback along slowly. Why? Because games are going to be 14-13, 17-10, somewhere around that age where we still got an opportunity to win football games late in the games, even with a rookie quarterback. So I look at it from this standpoint that there is an immense pressure on Denard Wilson to get this defense to playing the way he wants them to play, because if you get them playing a lot better, it takes the pressure off the offense.
Yeah, I'll reason with that, and that's something that they said. You know, you want to be in a situation where Cam Ward isn't asked to score 30 points a week, you know. But at the same time, I think conversely, Cam Ward being able to put up points, minimize turnovers, you know, good field positioning, all that stuff, like not have – you know how many times we've seen. Jeffrey Simmons has said it over and over again. Like, he feels like the defense is a fire team, right? They always have to go out and put out the fire, but the mindset's always, okay, no matter where the ball gets put down and snapped from, we got to stop them from scoring. So I think, you know, conversely, the offense could help the defense also. Ultimately, it's both sides helping each other. But to me, the pressure is most on Brian Callahan. And I think you look at this situation, and that's why I asked him specifically about that. And he said, you know, it's a privilege. And I think he's right, because you look at this situation, they got a quarterback. It has not worked getting a top 10 quarterback for this organization, you know, to the level of success that they've wanted. And that's required, you know, when you get a quarterback that high. Brian Callahan has a history of working with guys, and it's on him to make this work. And then I think if you look at it, you know, a lot of second-year coaches, you know, that get a new quarterback, go check the internet. Not too many of them are able to make it unless their name is Sean Payton. So, you know, it's just a lot of pressure on him. And ultimately, you know, if things don't go right for the defense, you know, he could make a move. But I think this defense is going to be okay, you know, as long as they stay healthy.
Now, and this may be a crazy question, but what do you think the organization, like people within the building, what do you think? Because I saw that Brian Callahan said something about Treylon Burks last week. I think he said he understands what he has to do coming in and being ready and all this other stuff. Basically, some of the same stuff he said last year. But how do you think people feel about him within that building? We know that he's had his injuries and his ups and downs, and you know, the fan base has pretty much checked out on him. But what do you think? How do you think they feel about him within a locker room? I'm saying the building, like execs and all those guys.
Okay, yeah, because the players, you know, they're, from what I could gather, you know, they're on some. It is what it is. Like, you know, it's an opportunity for me. You know, I that's something that Bryce Oliver should be thinking, right? That's exactly something that a lot of these guys should be thinking. But at the same time, it's like, man, you want to see your fellow, you know, guy on the team do right, right, and be okay. But I think in the building, I think there's a sense of frustration and that, like, man, there's always something. You know what I mean? And unfortunately, that's kind of been the pattern, right, for Treylon Burks. There's always something. And it's just like, you know, as soon as you get your hopes up and you're like, boom, something else happens. And it's just like, wow, back down to, you know, where we were. And I think that's the mindset that a lot of them have. They understand the promise, the hope, but it's just a glimmer of it now, given all the things that have happened.
Do you think people in the building sense that he loves football? And maybe you can't answer it, but I'm just saying, you understand what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I've had people say, well, this guy, I don't think he loves football.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there could be a degree of questioning that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there could be a degree. You look at last year, right? Last year, a month from now, last year, you know, the trip to Cabo. Like, that's a trip that Treylon Burks absolutely should have been on. I'm not privy to the exact details. I've been told a reason why, but I haven't, you know, got that directly from him, so I'm not going to put it out there. But to me, there should definitely have been, like, he should have been there. If not before anybody else, he should have at least been there, because that's it's critical for him to create that relationship. Because we remember what happened with Ryan Tannehill, where it was the disconnect. I remember week after week, hey, Ryan, like, what? Why didn't you go to Trail and he was open on this? And he would always, you know, say, okay, well, my read took me elsewhere, this, that, and the third. You want to be the guy your quarterback wants to throw to. You want to be the Xavier Restrepo to Cam Ward at Miami. You want to be that. But the only way that you could develop that, and you'll hear Xavier talk about that this weekend, the only way you could develop that is by spending time in the film room, on the field, and countless hours together to get to know each other. That was an opportunity that was missed.
Teron, before we let you go, I have an NFL-wide question for you. We saw here Warren Moon give Cam Ward his blessing to wear his number one. And it feels, and this is anecdotal, but it feels like we're seeing more of that. I know Abdul Carter, he wanted to wear Lawrence Taylor's number. Lawrence Taylor declined. Apparently, Phil Simms was open to giving Abdul Carter number 11. His family intervened and told him to keep it to himself. Where do you stand on young players asking retired players who have their jerseys retired for their numbers?
I mean, I feel if the player doesn't have an issue with it, the veteran, you know, the legend doesn't have an issue with it, I feel it should be okay. And honestly, half of these organizations, like you look at Keith Bullock, right? Femi Oladejo is wearing number 53. I mean, Chig got number 85. What are we doing here? Like, so if a number is really sacred, you know, those are two numbers that, in my opinion, are sacred, but they've been recycled multiple times. So I'm just like, if the player is okay with it, the legend is, I'm okay with it. But, I mean, there's certain circumstances. Like Lawrence Taylor, no, you don't ask Lawrence Taylor for the number.
Nah.
Warren Moon is just as much of a legend. In my opinion, one of the best to ever throw a football. But this situation is a little different in that it's Oilers to Titans. I get that. But, if the legend is okay, I'm okay.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, joining us on D-Mays, Fingan, and Donick. Teron, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll chat next week.
All right, for sure. Appreciate you.
Always a pleasure to talk to TD. 615-737-1025. Some interesting comments there, Derek, about Treylon Burks. Let's explore those. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Fingan, we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365, 1025, 1063, the game.